Good morning. Isn't it wonderful to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Amen? Amen. We welcome you here to Asbury United Methodist for worship this morning. It's a special, wonderful day that we will be enjoying the fellowship of the Lord with us. We have a special welcome to all the guests that are with us. We're so thankful you've chosen to worship with us today, and we hope that the Spirit of the Lord fills you and that you enjoy the time you have with us. We ask on the end of each pew, on the middle aisle, there is an attendance pad. Please fill that out, members and visitors. We would love to have a record of your visit with us here today. So I call your attention to the bulletin. There's several announcements, and I'll bring attention to a few. Asbury Jingle Jubilee will be on Sunday, December 3rd. This will be a time for the whole family together and enjoy a meal and listen to the children sing and ringing of bells. If you plan to attend, we ask that you provide a side dish or a dessert that would feed you and your family plus one more family. The church will be supplying the main portion of the meal through the meat. Contact Miss Laura if you have any questions. A very important meeting is coming. The charge conference is coming on November 20th. Please make plans to be here for this important meeting at 6 p.m. on November the 20th for the life of our church discussions. Join us for the Faith Family Dinner on Wednesday of this week. We have a wonderful time of fellowship followed by a study series that we've been having, and it's the Life Application Class series. This week, the Life Application of Law, led by Tony Hilliard, president of the Arkansas Bar Association. You can see on the insert the outstanding experience that Tony brings to the table, as well as the role of Papa T. That is designated by his granddaughter, Miss Lane Austin. Come be a part of the wonderful time of meal and fellowship and this time of learning in the Emmanuel classroom downstairs after the meal with Tony's leadership. To those that have already submitted your covenant sheets and your giving commitment cards, we thank you very much. That's a very important part of the service here at Asbury. If you have yours with you today, you can drop those in the offering plate or give them to an usher at the end of the service. If you need a commitment card, it is in the back pew there in front of you. We would ask you to be in prayerful mind and fill those out and turn those in as soon as you can. Please look at the bulletin. There is many opportunities for service and activities. The church is alive, so please pay attention as you can to other opportunities forthcoming this last part of this year. At this time, let's join in the love of Christ and pass his peace as we greet each other. Please join me in the call to worship. Lo, I tell you a mystery. We will not sleep, but we will all be changed. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall all be changed. Please join us with a hymn of praise, number 711 in the hymnal, For All the Saints.
Good morning.
Y'all look great today. You make me look that much better. Have a seat. Cool. How was the bagpipes? Have you ever heard bagpipes before? You have, no, and yes. They're kind of neat, aren't they? They're hard to play. They're popular in Ireland, that's correct. Well, do you see the candles on either side of the sanctuary? Over here on the table. This is All Saints Day. In the Methodist Church, we celebrate all of those saints that have gone on to heaven, and especially those that have gone on this past year. Now, what is a saint? What do you think a saint is?
I think a saint is a Christian who has died.
Okay.
A saint is like a person in robe, is kind of like a preacher.
Okay. Let me ask you to think. Think of somebody in your life that is so kind and so gentle and that just does everything for everybody, that's just always there. Can you think of somebody like that? Yes. Well, those would be the saints in our lives. Yes, Seth? God's not a saint, but he sure does everything for everybody, doesn't he? I could see how that would be confusing. Well, did you know that someday somebody might call you a saint? Did you know that? Because when you treat people kind and you share love with them and you share Jesus with them and you just give them what they need, they just need a hug or they just need love, when you get to be as old as I am, somebody might say, well, that was my saint. That's the person that had a big impact in my life. So that's a pretty big responsibility, isn't it? So we should remember to always share Jesus with people, always give them a smile, because that's the only thing that you can give them that will just multiply when they give it to somebody else, right? That's a smile. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for these young saints, Lord. These that will grow up and just going to impact your kingdom. Father, I ask that you place the love of Jesus in their heart so they can share it with everybody that they come in contact with. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
As we enter a time of prayer with God, I call your attention to those listed on our prayer concerns in our bulletin, Emily Evans, Betty Watt, Charlie Ward Sr., Bob Howeth, Beth Culbertson, Mildred Bradley, Bob McIntuff, Reverend Wayne Jarvis. Please remember them. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, your saints here on earth are gathered this morning, along with all the saints of heaven, to sing holy, 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 all praise and honor to you and the Lamb. We worship and exalt you today with song, reading, and teaching of your word. Age to age, you are the same, now and forever. Lord, we lift a world to you that so needs your presence and touch. There's so much hate and pain and suffering. It hurts every day as we listen to these stories and these tragedies. Send us, your messengers, to places where your word needs to be heard and planted. Lord, we also ask you to send people to these doors of this church to experience the love that is here and feel the presence of your Holy Spirit. May we welcome all who pass through these doors. On this very special Sunday, we remember the saints who have passed before us, who have joined in that never-ending hymn of praise. We ask for you to be our honored guest here this morning as we build the throne of praise upon which you may be seated. Accept our act of worship this morning, Lord. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, as we forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As the ushers come forth for our morning offering, remember the blessings that God has blessed us with and blessed this church with. As we pray, gracious Lord, you bless us in so many ways. Some of those ways we see, but most we do not. We are so joyful this morning in being able to return a portion to you for the furthering of your kingdom. Bless these tithes and give that they be multiplied to extend your kingdom here on earth until you come again in glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
Please remain standing and join us in a hymn of meditation, number 707, Hymn of Promise.
It is my joy to share with you from the Gospel of Matthew this morning a portion of what we know as Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. We're going to just read a portion of it today as we go to the fifth chapter of Matthew and begin with verse 1 and go through verse 8. May the people of God be blessed in this hearing and reading of God's holy word as we find it in the good news found in the Gospel of Matthew, the fifth chapter, verses 1 through 8. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." The word of God for the people of God. All Saints Sunday used to be rather a sad Sunday for me. But as I have matured in the faith over the years, it is one of my favorite Sundays to celebrate in the Christian year. It is a beautiful service of remembrance for those whom we have lost over this past year since last All Saints Sunday. It is also a time that we remember those who have moved on to the church triumphant, who are no longer among us. And as I think about the saints in my life, I go back to my home church where I grew up in the faith. And I can remember the faces of the saints who served so faithfully. When I look around today in this congregation of Asbury, it is astounding how many volunteers it takes to pull this beautiful worship service together. From our sound and video people, to our ushers, to our wonderful choir, to those who drive the van and the car faithfully Sunday after Sunday to get those here who would not be able to worship with us otherwise. And it just goes on and on. And so I remember, too, the volunteers that faithfully gave of themselves sacrificially every single Sunday. I remember their names in the 8:30 service of the men who would usher. John Dawson and Nick Margrave, whom I believe was a member here at Asbury many years ago. I remember my Sunday school teachers. I remember my youth counselors. I remember those who sang in the choir along with my mother and my dad. And that was a long time ago, and you'll be able to know that by some of their names: Mabel, Mildred, Madras. I remember ladies of the church who assisted me on my wedding day. People like Sarah and our own Kathy Robbins' mother, Sue. I remember these people because they impacted my life in this selfless way that they gave week after week to a formative child growing in the faith. So it is with reverence and joy that we remember those saints, some who are still alive, and some who have gone on before us either recently or for a long, long time now. But the first thing I want to say this morning is sainthood isn't just for those who are dead. No. In this life, we have saints in the making, and that includes you, my friends, and it includes me. All of us experience loss of a different kind, and it's those losses that are actually transforming us into saints. I mean, think about some of the losses that people experience in any given year. Maybe loss of a job. And it's not just the job, of course, it's the coworkers that they saw on that job every day that became friends, maybe confidants, teammates. And perhaps there was a loss of a career this past year for someone. And there's that loss, that sense of feeling like you failed. That sense of, what do I do now? I've done all I know how to do. And then for some, there are the loss of close friends. Maybe conflicts just couldn't seem to be resolved. Or maybe that camaraderie that was enjoyed on a weekly basis just isn't quite the same because of geography. Someone moved away. Loss sometimes occurs from exhaustion, for caring for those that need special care. Parents, other adults, children with special needs. And there's that loss, even amidst knowing that you are doing something very fulfilling, but there's that loss experience because somehow you don't quite have the life you used to have. Maybe there's a sense of loss of control. Loss may come from disappointment at home or work or school when dreams seem to vanish and hopes feel like they've dissolved. Such loss comes to us from many sources, but I believe there's value in remembering the losses, again, as they strengthen us into our sainthood. Opportunities or life experiences simply have moved on, and we remember that which impacts us as to who we are. I've been in this ministry track since 1979, when I received my license to preach, and I was one of the first women ministers in the United Methodist Conference here in Arkansas. And so you can imagine, as women began to enter into the ministry at a more frequent pace, I would get called up randomly or be pulled aside at an annual conference and asked to visit with them from time to time. And I would always say, I encourage you, but I'm going to have to shoot straight with you rather than ask you to put on some rose-colored glasses. But I will tell you, the profession and calling of ministry brings some of the greatest joys you can imagine. It brings some of the greatest challenges you can imagine. You will encounter some of the saddest moments in emergency rooms hospital rooms, homes. And the whole time, you're just hoping somehow you can comfort and give hope. I cannot think, amidst the struggles and amidst the saints, of having another profession which would have allowed me to have that kind of time with my girls that I was able to have that kind of flexibility. And I cannot imagine having the kind of calling and career where we would be moved from town to town, and some of which were towns in which the girls felt safe, riding their bicycles from neighborhood to neighborhood, and the neighbors might be on the front porch going, "There are those Hilliard girls." And my girls to this day have wonderful, wonderful memories of which homes had the greatest Halloween candy. And they remember the women of the church who spoiled them by having special bags set aside for when those Hilliard girls came by. Saints like Shirley and Peggy and Virginia and Liz. So I know you join me today with thankful hearts for those souls who are no longer with us but are with Jesus. Praise God. And we remember also those losses that we experienced as individuals, that we have endured, and recognize those losses as transitioning us into the goodness of our faith in Jesus Christ. Doug and I become kind of amused from time to time when members come to us and they want us to teach the book of Revelations. Now, we don't jump at that chance. And I'll tell you why. It's as much a mystery to us as it is to you all. It was written to be a mystery. It was to protect the early Christians. It was written in code. I'll give you a hint. Every time you read the word lamb, it's Jesus. And I'm sorry to say, I don't know a whole lot more about the book than that. I could study up on it. My seminary professors seem to be just as puzzled. But go to the 22nd chapter of that book, and it's all you need to know. Because in the 22nd chapter, it talks about the saints who are clothed in white, gathered in the church triumphant. And Jesus is there. And there's no more sorrow and no more tears. No more heartache, no more pain. Those who have gone through ordeals, great and small, and as we sung earlier, and from their labors rest. Secondly, to those any who are struggling right now to find hope or healing, Christ's promise is real to wipe away every tear. And that is a word that we need to hear, because that is a promise of God. And those promises are amazing in that they don't just describe things, but they have the capacity to create their designated reality. Promises have the capacity to move toward the designated reality. For instance, in 1917, my grandmother Deadman made a promise to be the best mother to my mother that she could be. And she kept that promise. And when my mother had me at age 40, she promised to be the best mother that she could be. And I watched her fulfill that promise in my life every day. And so that when I became a mother, I promised to carry on the legacy of trying my best to be the best mother I could be. And that legacy continues on today with my older daughter. Promises are meant to set good things into motion. At Christmas time, it doesn't matter whether the girls were age 3 or now in their 30s. I made a promise to them that we would always make Christmas cookies. One lived in Chicago, one lived in California, but when they came home for Christmas, we made those cookies. When Lane Austin was only 8 months old, she made cookies. We took that little tiny hand with a little cookie cutter in it and we pressed it down in the dough. But we decided not to give her the sprinkles. Now, when the girls come home for Christmas, it doesn't matter if I'm in the kitchen or not. That rolling pin, the dough, the flour, and the cookie cutters are out there waiting for me to get in the kitchen. Promises come from us and they set things in motion. You've been making some promises. When you make your United Methodist vows and you renew those vows, you're making some promises. When you fill out your commitment card, and every single one of you needs to send out a commitment card, and when you fill out that covenant of, this is the way that I can be one of those many, many volunteers on Sunday morning and during the week and maybe on the weekend with the youth. You are making promises, and don't you see that sets ministry into motion, amen? Without them, there's no ministry. Whenever we encounter grief or loss, it's so very hard to imagine what our lives are going to look like and feel like without that loved one in them. But we do. We move forward, and we do so as we hear the words of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who says, "But I'm with you, and I'm going to be with you always." And then we hear God's promise in Isaiah 45:2, "I go before you, and I make all those rough places smooth." And that's God's grace. And John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, said it was prevenient grace, that grace which goes before us. That grace that enables us to endure whatever lies ahead, knowing that with the grace of God, we're going to come out on the other side. Stronger, wiser, more faithful. How many times has that happened to me in ministry? Sent to a congregation that was in trouble. Well, gee, we all jumped to that. Sent to a church 3 hours away from my husband, just as we were celebrating 25 years of marriage. Having to do something I don't want to do. Perhaps maybe having a conversation I don't know what to say. And all the time, that grace is my answer, for God gives me the inner strength and integrity to rise above my fear. And finally, Jesus' saints come in all forms. We have this marvelous passage from his Sermon on the Mount. Think about the saints that you've known or know now, and they're all kinds of people. They're not all rich, but they're not all struggling. They're not all super educated, but they're not all have doctorates. They're not all healthy, they're not all sick. When Jesus blessed the people on the Sermon on the Mount, he didn't say, "You shall be blessed." He said, "You're blessed now. Blessed are you who are poor in spirit, who are meek, who mourn." The world typically gives little regard to those persons, and yet Jesus gave the greatest regard to them. And that was our model, to give the greatest regard to those who are experiencing the greatest and deepest need. He doesn't give the promise, you will be blessed. He's already fulfilled the promise, you are blessed. But to be blessed doesn't protect us and give us a life that we will live unscathed. No, Jesus' blessing brings a sense of completion, contentment, and joy. And like love and hope and so many other things, blessings are responsive, lending love to only go forward and create more blessings. So the good news in Jesus Christ on this All Saints morning is this. God knows the grief that you're experiencing and that's weighing down your heart. God knows the struggle of perhaps depression or addiction that you may be experiencing. God knows the challenges that come with change. And God sees and honors and blesses each and every one of us through all of this. For you and I are not alone, ever. There's this notion that when we struggle, that somehow we've failed, that somehow we've let God down, that somehow we don't have enough faith because we actually struggle. When any of us struggle or doubt or feel overwhelmed, we wonder if God's out there. Those are not signs of failure or lack of faith. No. Those are signs that you take your relationship with God seriously. And that you appeal to Him to help you with your struggles, to fortify your faith. And then when we do that, God names us by name among the most faithful, because blessed, remember Jesus said, are those who struggle. On this All Saints Day, we remember Jesus. And we remember those that the Lord provided to cross paths with our lives. And the list is long. And the list is wonderful. And Jesus sees our struggles and knows our grief. And Jesus does not judge us in our struggle. He has borne those struggles on the cross and carries them with Him that we may work through them together. And that we may do so in the faith of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and in the fellowship of the communion of the saints. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. As a response to the proclamation of God's word, I invite you to follow along as we go into our sacrament of Holy Communion with a great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, God of Abraham and Sarah, God of Miriam and Moses, God of Joshua and Deborah, God of Ruth and David, God of the priests and prophets, God of Mary and Joseph, God of the apostles and the martyrs, God of our mothers and our fathers, God of our children to all generations. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. on the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread, gave thanks unto you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this as often as you eat it in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks unto God, and gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Drink this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink it as often as you do in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. Renew our communion with all your saints, especially those whom we name before you. Mac John Carter, Sr. Lord, we thank you for this thy servant, for his living and dying in the faith. Butch Martindale, Jr. Lord, we thank you for this thy servant, for his living and dying in the faith. Eileen Flurry. Lord, we thank you for this thy servant, for her living and dying in the faith. Bill Myers. Lord, we thank you for this thy servant, for his living and dying in the faith. Miles King. Lord, we thank you for this thy servant, for his living and dying in the faith. Bonnie Myers. Lord, we thank you for this thy servant, for her living and dying in the faith. Sid Stevens. Lord, we thank you for this thy servant, for his living and dying in the faith. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, strengthen us to run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. As we prepare to partake of the sacrament of Holy Communion, hear these instructions. The bread represents the body of Christ. The cup represents the blood of Christ. These are gifts given to you by the grace of Jesus Christ, our Lord. There will be a gluten-free wafer for those of you that desire that, if you will just indicate to the communion steward that you need such. Also, you'll note that the ushers will be bringing forward a basket in the center aisle, and those offerings that you place in the basket do go to our community assistance fund. And please know that in the United Methodist Church, you do not have to be a member of this church to receive the sacrament of Holy Communion, for we observe an open table, and all are welcome. Will those assisting me please come forward at this time? Let us join in the prayer of thanksgiving. We now, the people of this congregation, grateful for our heritage, aware of the sacrifices of our mothers and fathers in the faith, and confessing that apart from us, their work cannot be made perfect, dedicate ourselves anew to the worship and service of Almighty God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us stand and sing our hymn of commitment today. Sing with all the saints of glory, 702. If there are those here today who would like to unite with this church in any of the ways we receive members, profess your faith in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, renew that profession, or again to come forward and to pray, we invite you to do so at this time. As she's coming forward, I want to share the good news that Emily has made the decision to join Asbury United Methodist Church. She's not a stranger here. She has been with us for a while in our children's department. Come on, honey. Come on here. And I'm just anxious for you all to meet her. If you don't know her already, she's with ACCDC. She's with our nursery. And today she just says, well, it's about time I joined the family. And we're just so glad, so glad. But she does come to us being restored into the life of the church. And as such, we observe and recognize her baptism, her original profession of faith. But we do ask this question of the United Methodist Church. Emily, will you be faithful to Christ through your service with the United Methodist Church, with your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness?
Yes.
Yes, wonderful. So I know that you'll want to greet Emily in just a moment. And again, we thank her for wanting to make this official, because we've loved her and known her for so long. Please receive this blessing. And now, God, we feel the presence of you and of the great cloud of witnesses, the saints, and the fellowship that they give to us. May we go forward in that spirit and share the love of God, the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the communion and fellowship of His Holy Spirit this day and forevermore. Amen.